the gift of song and liturgical worship that has been given to this parish is singular. It is powerful. It is so unique.
It's really hard to put into words what happens when you all raise your voice to the Lord here. But I'm telling you, it is fortifying in the richest and deepest of ways. So thank you for being so willing to share it with so many. Keep that willingness, because there are many more who are coming to receive this right ushering in to what is heaven. This is heaven. At least a significant foretaste of the fullness we will one day know when we see our Lord face to face. But you've got a calling into this, Light of Christ, so just stay steadfast, keep persevering, be ready. There's a lot more folks that are coming into this gift. I just sense it in the Lord. I want to say just a brief word about our work together with your other brothers and sisters throughout the Upper Midwest Diocese, that I'm going to pray for us, and then we'll look briefly together at God's Word, particularly the gift of John and John's teaching tonight. Just briefly, I'm coming off of actually 3 days in Minnesota. Twice a year, we gather as the Dean's Council, which are the kind of regional leaders or kind of senior spiritual elders throughout our diocese. That's Father Eric in Wisconsin, Father Christian, who's in Minnesota, myself based in Chicago, in the greater Chicago area, and then Father William Beasley, who oversees our missionary society, also known as the Greenhouse. So we gather, we're on the phone monthly, if not more, but then we gather face-to-face every spring in Minnesota. And the time that we had in the Lord was so deeply fortifying, so encouraging. We are in a season of fruits in our diocese, in our parishes, in our diocese, and the move of God that I thought was going to take us 8 years to get to, and we're 4 years in. It's an earlier harvest than I anticipated. We then gathered with our Bishop's Council. Jim's on the Bishop's Council. May it be forever so. I wish I had the power. I do have the power. I'm a bishop. It's forever so. As long as I'm doing it, Jim's doing it. But we gathered then leaders from each of those regional areas, and they come together at the people of God with different presbyters and deacons, and it's a wonderful combination of people from all around the diocese, and we too seek the Lord's face. We dialogue in wisdom about how is God leading our diocese and what is God doing. And I'll just say briefly that our diocese is about many, many things. But one thing that's very close to our heart, of course, is the planting of new works. And you here at Light of Christ have been involved in the planting of different new works, as Father Luke right there, and the planting of Parish House and other new works that we've seen. You know, we've planted 13 new works in the last 4 years as a fledgling pioneering diocese. And then we have 7 more, for sure, new works coming in the next year and a half. By God's grace. All that says is Jesus' hand is on us. All that's saying is that the Spirit of God is in our midst. All that means is that the Father has heard our cry to raise up churches that are revival of word and sacrament places for those who are far from God, those who live on the margins and in the unseen places of our culture can be seen and known and named and given nobility in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Praise God. So when you hear about a church plant, don't think about, oh, it's just one more click, check. Think about people who are far from God, people that are unseen, marginalized, and need to be given the truth that Jesus has seen and known them. That's why we're planting churches. And that's just one of the things that God is doing. But I'm overflowing with joy. I keep calling my wife, Catherine, and saying, it's so good, it's so amazing, I can't tell you on the phone. And that irritates her. So I've done it like 3 times over the last 4 days. And I was driving to Kenosha and just this afternoon. She's like, okay, now can you tell me? I'm like, oh, no, I can't tell you. This is not a phone thing. This is a face-to-face thing. There's way too many things happening. We can't do this by phone. So pray for me. Because she's... That dear woman is very frustrated. And I'll get home and I'll be tired and I'm like, I can't get into details tonight. And that won't go well either. Every wife here goes, mm-hmm. They never do detail. They never do enough detail. All right, let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you have given us the Word of God, and in the Word of God, you have given us the promise that you are God with us, that you dwell with us. We thank you, Lord, that in our custom, when the deacon reads the gospel, the deacon comes among the people of God to again and again remind us that the gospel has been embodied in the person of Jesus Christ, who is God with us. And because you are with us, we can abide in you. Because you are with us, we can be summoned, as we've just sung, we can be summoned to be the man, the woman, the boy, or the girl that you have designed us to be. So we now give you all the authority through your word to speak to us. And help me, Lord, to somehow communicate something of what you have done for us on the cross and in the resurrection. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I had the joy of a very kind of stable upbringing, which is a gift, and not many get that gift throughout the world. And in that stable upbringing, we actually lived in the same house that my mom grew up in Indiana. And yet, after my seventh grade year, my father came to us with the news that we were moving, and actually they would be leaving the city that they had lived in for literally five generations, and that we were going to move to a city south of us called Evansville, Indiana. And it was an incredible sort of disorientation for me, that point, going from seventh grade to eighth grade, from many friends, a culture that I knew it so well, I didn't even know how well I knew it, right? And all of a sudden, I was thrust into a situation where it was a smaller town. The school that I went to was kindergarten through eighth grade, and I came in eighth grade, right? So what does that mean? That means a lot of lunches by yourself in the cafeteria. It was really hard. I'd gone from being at the center of a thriving school and athletic community to all of a sudden being completely by myself. And then I made it worse for myself. Here's how I did that. It was the very first day of school, and we had gym class, and you were sitting kind of cross-legged in lines, wearing red shorts and white t-shirts, where you had to write your name with a Sharpie pen. And we sat there, and we were the gym teacher was going on and on about something that I wasn't paying attention to, and so I was looking around, and I noticed there was a record board up on the wall. And on the record board were the times for different track events. And I had been a runner, and I was a runner, and there was a time for the mile track event, and it was a time that, in my own experience, was quite slow. So I raised my hand, actually interrupted the gym teacher, excuse me, you know, Mr. Masterson. I said, but is that record up to date, or is that just obsolete and you guys haven't updated it? He's like, no, it's up to date. That's the current record. Oh, I said. Already you could feel tension in the room, as in, who's this idiot, and why is he asking this question? And he seems to have an agenda, which I did. It was 5:26, I'd run a 5:15. I, at that point, decided, I'm going to break the school record. So I went out on recess, yes, eighth grade, still had recess, and I walked by this group of students, or about four or five students, and they were all guys, and they were talking, and as I walked by, I realized they were talking about me. And they were saying, who is that stupid new kid who thinks he's amazing that asked that stupid question about, is this the real record or is that obsolete? All right, well, just as I heard my voice being mimicked, not in a flattering way, right, but in a mocking way, they realized that I was walking by them. And they all turned and pivoted, and it was literally like this kind of slow motion moment where I was going, no, trying to walk away. And they were like, it's him. And look at this guy whose name was Mike Gunn. Yes, his last name had to do with a firearm. And I'm not making this up. His name was Mike Gunn. I mean, he literally, I think he had two or three tattoos at that point. And I mean, there was a beard happening in eighth grade with Mike Gunn. The guy was just huge and strong. And I was scrawny. And at this point, I was feeling very small. And he literally reached out to me, grabbed me by the shoulders, and said, okay, track star, you think you're strong? And he pushes me. I fall back like this. And he gets over right in front of me. He says, let's race right now, track star. I mean, my heart was pounding. I don't want to race. I mean, I'm near ready to cry, much to my embarrassment. I walk away. The situation diffuses. And that really ushered in one of the hardest years I'd ever had, and have had in many ways. Now, there's some good news to that story. I did have to race Mike Gunn and Jim the next week when we did the mile trial, and I beat Mike, and I did get the school record later on as well. But those victories were pretty small compared to another victory I had that year. And the victory was, it was the first time in my life I got clear about answering this question: who will I give the authority to tell me who I am? Would I let my athletics tell me who I was? I'd given athletics a lot of authority to tell me who I was. Would I let the fact that I'd grown up in the same community my whole life tell me who I was? Would I let the fact that I was a good student tell me who I was? Would I let the fact that Mike Gunn and his gang of folks that weren't so crazy about me tell me who I was? Or would I really, for the first time in my life, give Jesus the authority to tell me who I was? Who has the authority? And by the way, this is your choice. Who will you give the authority to tell you who you are? Who have you given that authority to already? Have you given financial profile the authority to tell you who you are? Are you engaged in the world of digital social realities in such a way that actually that's what's telling you who you are? It's not the technology that you're addicted to. You're addicted to being told who you are, which is why you may connect with the technology. Are you letting a larger political reality tell you who you are? Have you given authority to the political world, even the governmental world, which has proper authority over us, Paul teaches in Romans 13. But have you given an inordinate authority so that when things are going the way you hope they would go, you feel good, and when they go the way you hope they would not go, you feel bad? Who have you given the authority to tell you who you are? When we give Jesus the authority to determine who we are, we give him who has been loved by the Father the authority to love us. That when you give Jesus the authority to tell you who you are, what you are doing is giving him who has been loved by the Father. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. What you're doing, you give Jesus authority to tell you who you are, is you're really saying to him, I want to receive and live and bond with your love, the very love that you have received from the Father, so I want to receive from you, Lord Jesus. That's what it means to give him the authority to tell you who you are. I had never known the love of God like I knew at first in that eighth grade year, because I was brought to a crisis point at that point of deciding who would have that authority. You may not be in a crisis point, although perhaps you may be in a crisis point of to whom you will give that authority. But this is something in crisis points where that decision must be clarified. It has to do with the daily life we live in the Lord. As we engage in morning prayer, or we read our Bibles, or we go about our day, it's a regular decision to abide in Jesus. Is to give him all authority. It's to connect, to bond, to live in union with him in a way that gives him all influence over us and through us and in us. That's where healing begins. That's how healing is sustained. That's how direction comes when we have little direction. That's how emotional breakthrough comes when we're stuck in a rut of particular emotions and relating patterns. Don't let the word authority cause you to step back. When you hear the word authority in the context of the Lord Jesus and the call to abide in him, step in. Step close. Step close to Jesus' authority. For it's there that you will abide in him as he abides in the Father. And you will know his love. How beautiful that antiphon is. Take me as I am. Summon out what I shall be. Lord Jesus, we take a moment on this beautiful spring night and Eastertide as we prepare to draw close to the ascension of our Lord this Thursday. Lord, we thank you that in your nativity, we thank you that in your life, we thank you that in your crucifixion, we thank you that in your resurrection, we thank you that in your ascension, in every one of those pivotal moments in your life, you have bonded us to your heart. That, Lord, we are born with you, that, Lord, we die with you, that we are raised from death with you, and that we are, Lord, raised to the heavens with you, that we have ascended with you, that, Lord, you have bonded us to every aspect of your life, that there is no time when you leave us away, you leave us behind, but, Lord, you have attached us to every element of your life and death and resurrection and ascension. Come, Holy Spirit, we yet again speak the word yes to you, Lord. Lord, have all authority to determine who we are to be. Have all authority to determine how we are to invest our life in the kingdom of God. Have all authority over our financial profile, over our sexual lives, over our relational interaction. Lord, we thank you that with your authority, you love us with the very love of the Father for you. As we're worshiping, Lord, I just ask that you would clarify for many of us where we have abdicated, Lord, where we have given others the authority that is solely yours. And I pray that you would align where some of us have become confused about exactly who we are and what we're doing because we've not been under your full authority to summon out what we shall be. Would you identify that, Lord, for many of us? Would you, by your Spirit, just show us where that may be true? Lord, would you do a work among all of us tonight of yet again refreshing our ascent to live in you, to abide in you? Thank you, Lord.